Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, it's Andrew Bogish.
Welcome back to Writer Than You on this Monday morning here on CBS Sports Radio on the free Odyssey app on Sirius XM Channel 158. Andrew Bogish in for Bill Ryder. As promised, our college basketball conversation continues right now with John Fante. You can see him, hear him on Fox Sports. I think on CBS Sports Network as well. Definitely the Field of 68. He is everywhere because he loves college basketball maybe more than anybody else in this country, which is why he is perfect to talk to this morning. John, it's Andrew. How are you, man?
Andrew, I'm doing great. Great to be with you. Happy Madness. Happy Final Four. And, hey, we're here. We've got heavyweights. We've got an improbable story. We've got some great stories heading into Phoenix. It's great to be with you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I'm pretty sure I said this to start the show, John. I don't know that we could have come up with a better Final Four in terms of storylines, individual players, than what we've got here headed towards Phoenix now.
I agree with you. I mean, what we're watching from Zach Edey right now is extraordinary. And I don't know when we'll see something like this again, so we should relish it. We should relish it. Anybody being overcritical of this kid and the way he gets officiated, he doesn't control that. He's a dominant presence. He is the first player to lead Division I in scoring and make the Final Four since Oscar Robertson in 1960. He is the first Division I player with 900 points and 400 rebounds in a single season since Larry Bird. We have only seen two players since 1968 have a 40-15 game in the NCAA tournament. Bo Kimble in 1990 and Zach Edey this year. We are watching greatness. We are watching the unbelievable occur with the numbers that this guy is putting up and the fact that he's in a Final Four. Rarely in this tournament do you see the best player in the sport and be able to totally make it come to fruition and get to the national semifinals, because you're not playing one six-game tournament, Andrew. You're playing six one-game tournaments. So you have him. You have a team that has won their games in the tournament by an average of 28 points per game. UConn is the ultimate wagon, and we've got a back-to-back pursuit. We haven't had a back-to-back champ since 2006 and 2007. You have Nate Oates in Alabama, who lost Brandon Miller, who lost Noah Clowney, who lost Charles Bediako, who lost Jaden Bradley, who lost Javon Quinterly. He lost three assistant coaches to his staff over the offseason. He is still standing in the Final Four. And you have NC State, who has come out of nowhere, who literally should have been who could have been eliminated from the ACC tournament, probably should have. If you look at any analytics, they were 99% chance to lose to Virginia in the ACC tournament, down six with under a minute left. They won that game just to survive, and they've survived all their way here. This is a great Final Four, and I can't wait.
Which is your favorite? I'm assuming it's not Alabama, with all due respect to Nate Oates, but out of UConn, Purdue, NC State, which storyline do you like the most?
Well, I think it's Purdue, because they haven't been here since 1980. And, you know, when you get there in 1980, you never know when you're going to be back here again. And so 44 years later, they are. I love the redemption storyline. You know, yeah. Virginia in 2019, that was the storyline. Could they get it? Then they did. And it took drama to get there. But I think that this for Purdue, they were the butt of all jokes last year when they lost to FDU. They were hated upon. They've been criticized. And back in October, Matt Painter said, "We're reading everything. We see it all. We are sitting in it. We're sitting in the defeat. We're sitting in the embarrassment." He said, "Because if you don't acknowledge the embarrassment, you'll never be able to appreciate the success." I love that story.
Yeah, and it puts even more context into what Edie did yesterday with the 40-16. It's one thing to do that in round one. It's another in the regional final as you're trying to erase all of that kind of deserved critique from a year ago.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it has. If you're critiquing Purdue at this point, you're just a hater. You got to love what this team has done. And yeah, sometimes you're not going to be able to get to where you're at now unless you fail, sometimes miserably. And in this case, that's what happened, and that's why this team is still standing. I mean, Andrew, I don't know about you, but like, I just watched Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, and I see two guys who have grown up. It's almost as if we forgot that last year they were still only freshmen, and there was a benefit to going through that experience, and now they're feeling the reward of it. And for Matt Painter, you know, you're only unable to do something until you finally do it. And he didn't learn how to coach this year. He's always been a great coach. The key to making an NCAA tournament run is to just keep making the tournament. And that's what we have here with Purdue. It's what we even have here with NC State, who got in, wouldn't have gotten in otherwise if they hadn't won their ACC tournament, and now they're standing here. So, you know what? I love this Final Four, and I'm with you on that question about Purdue. Like, they had to go through what they went through to get here.
This is John Fanta, Fox Sports, and the Field of 68 podcast website with us here on CBS Sports Radio. As we switch here to UConn for a second, John, this is not a personnel, can Alabama do a question? It's just a very general, how do you, in an X's and O's way, how do you actually beat UConn these days?
Well, you have to get Donovan Klingon sidelined with two early fouls. You have to hope and pray. That's not an X's or O's type of move. You have to hope and pray that Alex Caravan and Cam Spencer aren't fully on rhythm, you know, aren't fully in rhythm, rather. Because if either one of them is, you're going to be in for a very difficult time because you're already dealing with an All-American point guard. I thought Illinois in the first half on Saturday night answered the first question. What did they do? Well, they eliminated Tristan Newton from making shots. They put pressure on the ball. They frazzled Newton. Newton is the head of the snake. There's a reason why he's an AP first team All-American, and if you allow him to get into a rhythm, he's the point guard. When a point guard's playing well, guess who else plays well? Everybody around him, more times than not, or at least they're going to get the opportunity to play well. But Klingon's the difference, Andrew. If you allow Klingon to make his presence felt, when he throws down a dunk, it feels like 4 or 5 points because that fan base gets into it. They feed off it. Dan Hurley feeds off it. It starts to me at the center position, at the point guard position. Yes, they have shot makers. I would dare Stephon Castle to shoot it, especially in a football stadium this upcoming weekend. Just dare him. If he's making it, you know what? You throw your hands up in the air and say, well, we ended up like the others. To me, here's the thing. X's and O's wise, you do have to be willing to take a risk. And here's my thing. Why not? Nothing else has worked. All these other teams UConn's watching film of, they know everything they're going to do. They know how they're going to play. And you can tell when then they play them. You have to try something different defensively. If you haven't played zone all year, go ahead and try it. I actually think a zone would be somewhat successful against UConn, only because they face so less of it. Everybody's trying to switch on them. Why? Their five's better than your five. Try something different. That would be my message to any of these three teams, you know, to Alabama and then to either Purdue or NC State. I believe it will be Purdue. I know you want to focus on what's gotten you here, but the fact is this team is winning. They're playing a different sport than everybody else. You have to pull a Rolly Massimino 1985 type move to beat UConn in this Final Four. That's how much I respect UConn. That's how highly I think of them.
John, I think I caught a glimpse of you sitting behind the CBS announcers in Boston. So what does a 30-0 run feel like in person?
You find yourself saying, say goodnight three times during it. I mean, it just, and you find yourself watching Kevin Harlan have his jaw to the floor as he's going to Stan Van Gundy and Dan Bonner for analysis, because that's what it was. You feel like you're in the stands because the Connecticut fans just can't get enough of it. You know, it almost, Andrew, you know, when Oprah had her shows and she's giving away gifts, and throughout the show, the gifts keep getting better. That's what it felt like to the UConn fans. Like by the end of it, you know, every one of them was walking away with a car, or in this case, a flight to Phoenix, because that's how the whole vibe was. What impressed me the most, it was a 30-0 run. You don't realize it till it's over. Like, wow, 30-0. But the reason why you don't realize it, Andrew, is they only made two threes on it. They only made one three on the 25-0 second half run to open the second half. The 30-0 run was overall to close the first and start the second. The majority of the run came in the second half. In the second half, you know, they only make one three on the 25-0 run. They only made three threes in the entire game. That's what stands out to me watching it. I'm just thinking to myself, how is a team that clearly is having a poor shooting game? They shot the ball poorly from three.
Yeah, what, 3 of 17, right?
Yeah, they shot 3 of 17 from three. Their AP first team All-American point guard did not make a shot, and they won the game by 25 over Illinois in the Elite Eight. That's why I'm saying this is one of the greatest college teams of all time. Why aren't we having that discussion more? I think it'll increase as the week goes on. But to me, if you're not having that discussion, you're saying, well, you know, it's hard to compare eras. I get that. But what else does this team have to do to make the argument for themselves? They've been up by over 30 points on every opponent in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and that, like, to me, the thing that stands out, when you go back to Florida, you want to go back to the Duke teams that I can remember as a preteen. Like, those were the same guys. Like, it was still Hurley and Leitner and Grant Hill. It was still Noah and Brewer and Torian Green at Florida. This is a somewhat different team than a year ago. There's obviously some carryover, but the top two or three guys have changed from last year to now, which makes, if we fast forward to next Monday night and they win again, I don't know what's better in recent memory than, you know, two slightly different teams from the same school winning back-to-back titles, unless I'm overvaluing the change from last year to this year.
No, I think that for this team, you know, they lost three guys to the pro ranks. They lose Adama Sanogo and Jordan Hawkins and Andre Jackson. You know, they brought back Donovan Klingon and Alex Caraban, who have been terrific and mature beyond their years. And of course, you get your point guard back. I mean, they had to go in the portal and get a shooting presence. And to me, the story of Cam Spencer is one everybody can root for. Andrew Spencer was a zero-star recruit out of high school. Zero. He started his career at Loyola, Maryland. He ended up at Rutgers, sprung on the scene, but, you know, he was a late add for Connecticut. They were going to add Nick Timberlake, who ended up at Kansas. They ended up passing on Timberlake at the last second, / Timberlake went to Kansas, passed on them, and they end up with Cam Spencer. So, you know, it a two-year run. I mean, there's a reason why we haven't seen this in close to two decades. We're watching history right now. We're watching one of the great college players of all time, one of the great two-year runs by a team ever. We're watching a team, you know, make their first Final Four since Jim Valvano, who is a legend in his own right and who's going to be written about this week. And I love that. I love that Jimmy V's name will be said throughout the week because he's such an inspiration in sport. And, you know, you have an Alabama program that I think is showing other programs of their stature that they can, you can do it. You know, they haven't been certainly not a blue blood. They haven't even been like a great college hoops program history wise, but you can build it. But I do think, going back to your original question, yeah, we need to appreciate what this is from Connecticut. What they're doing is exceptional and not normal. But as Alex Caraban told me Saturday, nobody in our locker room is normal.
Yeah, that's well said. It's they're not normal. It's not normal, and it's been super impressive. And I kind of, with all due respect to everybody else, John, I kind of want to see it play out. I kind of want to see them win again because as fun as the Edey story is, as remarkable as NC State, some of two more wins in them, which would be bonkers. You know, sometimes I like elite. I like history. And if UConn pulls off this double, I think that's the outcome I want to see most out of this weekend in Phoenix.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing I want to see most is UConn play Purdue.
Fair. Let's start there, right?
Yeah, I want to see Zach Edey played out of the clean. I really do. And now, if Edey wins a national championship, Andrew, that is all-time stuff. However, that's not going to happen. We're going to watch UConn win it all. I really believe that. I believe they're the best team in this sport. And I don't think it's all that close. And it's no disrespect to anybody else, but UConn is flat out. They're sucking the life out of teams fighting for their season. I mean, what they did to Illinois Saturday, I'm in disbelief. It was Illinois' largest loss in an NCAA tournament game since 1949. The team who beat them that night, Adolph Rupp in Kentucky. I mean, that's legendary name status. That's a legendary era. So, I think we're going to see a Connecticut coronation in Arizona, and I think we're going to start to have we're going to not have the conversation of if they're a blue blood, but where they sit on the greatest college programs of all time.
Yep.
Because if they win this sixth national title, they'll only trail three programs all time. Like that's insane.
John, before you go, one last quick one from the women's side. You and I have been in a lot of gyms, in a lot of games. I've seen rims measured pregame. I've seen nets replaced. I've seen poorly taped three-point lines on, like, multi-purpose courts. How in the world do we have incorrect three-point lines on a specialty floor in Portland that's just made for this women's weekend? I don't understand how it happens, and I don't understand how we go through a whole day of games without anybody noticing.
I'm really glad that you asked me this question. This is the biggest embarrassment that I have ever seen in a sport, ever. Ever. We have a championship on the line. We have teams fighting for a championship in a major sport, and you don't have the three-point lines correct on the court? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There should be fire to the seats of the people who make the decisions and put these events together. And yes, I am going to be harsh on this one, Andrew, because there's people fighting for a championship. This is serious stuff. This would never happen in the men's game. Don't tell me it was just a common mistake. This is crazy talk. It's 2024. If the court is wrong, which it was, if it is the facility, and I don't know, you know, I don't know how it all works out with that, but if it is the facility, they should not be hosting the NCAA Women's Tournament ever again, ever, nor alone a major tournament. It's a joke that this happened, a joke. Women's basketball continues to have things happen to it every single year that just totally are an egg on face type of moment. First and foremost, the biggest thing is you're hosting this tournament tonight. You have Iowa and LSU playing. Great. You have UConn playing USC. Great. Great. You're going to have you're going to have 7 million people watch tonight. Don't believe me? Watch when the ratings come back. Maybe more than 7 million people. And you've got the three-point lines wrong on a court? What are we doing? It's bad enough that they're playing these regionals in Albany, New York, and Portland, Oregon. What are we doing? What kind of fan support are you trying to get? You're sending UConn women's basketball to Portland, Oregon to play in the NCAA tournament? They have one of the greatest fan bases of all time. These people aren't flying all the way out there for that game, and I don't blame them. Women's basketball's got to take a hard look in the mirror and start to say, maybe when we have all these issues at our event, that we should be changing up who or how we're running the event. Sometimes you gotta look yourself in the mirror and acknowledge the problems. And the fact is, I don't like criticizing kids, Andrew, but these are professionals who make the decision. The NCAA should be embarrassed about what happened yesterday. There's no excuse for it.
Well, I'm glad I asked. Perfect answer. Well said, John. You're the best. Thanks so much for jumping on. I appreciate it. Safe travels to the Final Four, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you. Have a great one.
You too, man. John Fanta, Fox Sports, the Field of 68. Those guys do a tremendous job covering the men's game, podcasts, websites. Their season preview, which I think is now a second year, maybe a third year, is one of my favorite and most impactful purchases when the year starts. And John's just a stud, as you just heard, full of energy, full of information, full of opinions. We thank him for jumping on. We got to get back to this court thing in case somehow you missed this yesterday while you were celebrating Easter in your linen suit like Boyle. Because as John said, it just can't happen. I don't know who's to blame still. The chain of command, we haven't really been told. The NCAA said it's not them, it's their vendor. But everybody with even a fingernail on this court yesterday needs to lose their job in Portland because it's an absolute joke. And it's not the only embarrassment that, again, the women's tournament has suffered this year, after all of the drama and some of the, you know, that led to good, necessary changes, they are still the women's game, the women's teams dealing with nonsense that should never, ever, ever happen. When we come back, though, buy or sell with Boyle next on Rider Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Rider Than You.
It's time for America's favorite game show, which chugs along whether Pretty Daddy is here or not. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Without further ado, here's Pat Boyle.
What's up, folks? I'm getting compliments galore, by the way, on the doubled-up Easter outfit linen pants.
Good for you.
Wimbledon shirt that you have taken aim at today. So I just want you to know that. You are in the minority.
Yeah, I've also heard from the person who you labeled as Mike from Rochester. That was not his name nor his location.
But he's a real person.
So he has confirmed his defense of you, but he deserved better than what you gave him.
All right, well, it came up as Rochester on the phone screener. So if he's from some little, you know, East Bumble whatever town in New York, that's
don't
not Rochester. Don't
dig yourself a bigger hole.
I got the
just,
town.
Just say thank you.
Why am I on the defensive here?
Just say thank you to the guy who has your back.
You didn't believe he had my back. You didn't believe there was a real person.
And now, and I respect his opinion. So good for you. That's a point for you. But don't now diss where he might be calling from in upstate New York.
All right. Well, as Tiki Barber says, kiss ass. We start with the men's Final Four, which is now set for this upcoming weekend in Phoenix. Dan Hurley and his reigning champion UConn Huskies take on Nate Oates' four-seed Alabama, while Zach Edey and Purdue go to war with DJ Burns, DJ Horn, and the team of destiny, the 11-seed NC State Wolfpack. UConn, the odds-on favorite to win the title. No surprise, they're the top overall seed and reigning champs. When is the last time a team has looked this dominant? You've talked about it. John Fanta has talked about it. I'm sure there's not many people that think UConn can be beaten, but can any team keep it close? They've led by 30 points at some point in all four of their tournament games this year, including against the team they played in the Natty last year, San Diego State, and then Illinois, the number 10 ranked team in the country. They've won every tournament game the last 2 years by double digits. Bogus, buy or sell, any team can keep the final score within single digits against UConn here the remainder of the way.
I'm going to sell that, Patty B.
Sell.
But there's a caveat. I think Purdue, if we get Purdue-UConn on Monday night, I think Purdue will give UConn its toughest test of this tournament. And I think the final score will be outside single digits because UConn will hit some free throws, a hoop or two late, to pull away. Like, NC State put points on Duke late yesterday because Duke was scrambling, pressing, and they just kept throwing up the floor, and DJ Bird or somebody else is laying in and getting fouled. UConn will pull away from Purdue late to make a good tight game look a little less tight than it was.
So you think Purdue will keep it within single digits, though, for most of the contest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that we're just asking if any team cannot get blown out by UConn?
That's how good they are. That is how good an unbelievable Saturday was.
Let me give you a hot take here.
Please.
I think Purdue can beat UConn.
I think Purdue has the best chance to beat UConn.
I think they can.
But they won't.
I'll put some shekels on Purdue if I get a plus 10.5.
It's 9.5 right now, right?
Oh, is that
That's the initial. Those are lines for Saturday.
It's 11.5 against Bama.
Right.
And I would assume you get Purdue-UConn. I would assume the folks in Vegas, the smart people that they are, knowing that UConn has won every game by double digits, they want action on both sides. They want people to bet Purdue, right? Because everybody's going to be dying to bet UConn. I think you get a 9.5.
Okay. You would know better than me, but that sounds right.
Oh, yeah. BetQL every Sunday morning with our old pal Sean Maresh.
There it is.
All right, folks. While UConn may dominate their way to another national title, our big, weird, wasted hero, DJ Burns, has taken America by storm. As has NC State, who have now won 9 straight postseason games on this magic carpet ride. They were 17-14 going into the ACC tourney. They won 5 games in 5 days. They've knocked off 3 higher seeds this tournament, including Marquette and Duke. But many are bandying the word Cinderella about them. Can a team from a Power 5 conference be a Cinderella? Buy or sell NC State being, quote-unquote, Cinderellas?
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Buy.
If you have to win your way in, I don't care what league you're coming out of, if your only path in is to win your conference tourney, and then you win it playing 5 games in 5 days, you're absolutely Cinderella to keep winning 9 in a row now on your way to the Final Four, first time since 83. They are absolutely Cinderella.
I disagree. That's a full disagree for me. They're in the they play in the ACC.
They didn't play well enough in the ACC.
No, Cinderella's a reserve for the George Masons, the Loyola Chicagos with 197-year-old Sister Jean, the St. Peters of the world. Those are Cinderellas. Those are teams that, like, statistically on paper, and when you actually look at the tournament, you say they have no chance of getting out of the first round, let alone to the Elite Eight or all the way to the Final Four. North Carolina State was a bad team for 3 months, and now they got hot. They're a Power 5 conference team. They play in the ACC. They're not a Cinderella.
Okay, they are, whatever you say.
How?
Because they shouldn't have been...
Cinderella's a reserve for the smaller conference teams.
No.
That's why they're Cinderellas.
No, they're Cinderellas because they weren't supposed to be here, and they're here.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
You could say San Diego State wasn't supposed to be here. They were a 5 seed. If they beat UConn, are they Cinderellas?
No, because they were going to get in no matter what happened in the Mountain West tournament. They were a ranked team most of the year.
But you said it's a Cinderella is anybody that's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, NC State's
like
not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be here. They weren't supposed to be in the tournament to begin with.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be here because they sucked.
Right.
They sucked.
Yeah.
But they also play in the ACC. Like, if they play in the MEAC, they win their conference tournament easily. They probably win 28 games. And then we're talking about them having just as much of a chance to maybe make a surprise as a McNeese or a James Madison, other teams that won 30 games. They're not Cinderellas either. A Cinderella is a team like a St. Peter's who wins, like, 18 games, makes a little nice run to win their conference tournament, but should have no chance under any circumstances win against a 1 or a 2 seed, let alone get to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
If NC State was in the MEAC, they wouldn't have either DJ Burns or DJ Horn. You can't just take them and drop them in the MEAC. You can't do that in this exercise. The bottom line is they were a Cinderella in the ACC tournament. So they have to still be one of the big dance.
It's an improbable run. They're not Cinderellas.
They're Cinderella.
Were an awful team.
They're an 11 seed.
Their coach was on the verge of getting fired.
Sounds like Cinderella to me.
They were a bad team that caught magic, lightning in a bottle, and are now hot. They are still a Power 5 team. They could have been playing this well all along, and we wouldn't have been saying Cinderella. They decided to crap the bed for 3 months and then say, oh, all right, our coach is about to get fired. Maybe we should play well.
Because they're on a Cinderella-like run.
No. Cinderella is... I'm trying to think of a good analogy. Cinderella, it's like if you have a hot chick in school, and you're like, well, she really just doesn't try to make herself look presentable. She kind of just looks bad. And then all of a sudden, she starts wearing makeup, wearing nice outfits. She starts, you know, have a bubbly personality, and you're like... oh, where did this girl come from? But it's like, yeah, you know, we kind of saw that she was good looking all along rather than, you know, the girl who plays the tuba for the band. No offense to anybody that does that. But that's a real Cinderella. If all of a sudden she gets invited to the ball by the jock, by the high school quarterback.
By the Pat Boyle.
No, you're wrong here. They're not Cinderellas.
Okay.
They're not.
That's fine.
All right. Over to the women's tournament where we probably get the most watched college basketball game, men or women. In quite some time tonight, maybe of all time, when we get a rematch of the national title game from last year. Caitlin Clark in her final March Madness, the Iowa Hawkeyes against Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, and the reigning champion LSU Tigers. The spiciness of Kim Mulkey and the headlines she's made and the headlines made about her, along with her greatness as a coach, Caitlin Clark being the greatest college basketball scorer ever, and the way the game ended last year, Angel Reese following Caitlin Clark around the floor, holding up the ring sign as the buzzer ended, has made for one hell of a matchup tonight. When asked about the rivalry between the two, we played it before, Angel Reese said, there's nothing personal. It's about great competition. I don't know if you follow somebody around on the court holding up your finger to them if it's not personal. Bogues, buy or sell that it is not personal between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
I'm going to buy it from Angel Reese's perspective.
Buy.
Because she told us yesterday it's not personal. Now, maybe Caitlin Clark feels differently because she was the victim, quote unquote, a year ago. Whatever it is, it's fun. And I'm glad we're getting it again tonight. And whether it's Angel Reese able to do that or something like it again because her Tigers are winning again, or it's Caitlin Clark celebrating her little personal redemption against LSU, either way, as an audience, we win.
Buy or sell that this game breaks the record for most watched college basketball game ever.
So I don't know what the record would be, but my answer is sell, just because...
Sell.
And this is where I think the danger of comparisons comes in, right? Because last year, the women's tournament was amazing. The ratings were great. But the men's Final Four was still more watched and set recent, you know, broke a recent trend because it's the men's game just has a different built-in audience still. So they may break the women's record tonight. I don't know that they're going to trump all of the records because that's still asking a lot of any men or women non-Final Four, non-title game.
I've got a lot of hopes. I've got high hopes for this. I think the women's game has blown up in popularity. I think this is a chance for them to really make their stamp. I think it's a Monday night, April 1st. After a holiday, some people still have off. Maybe spring break for the kids, for the kiddies and the parents. I think you have a chance to really break a record here tonight. All right. It's April. It's NFL draft month. We're 24 days away. And as we ramp up, the talk will only intensify on the court.
So just for the record, real quick, the number one game, college basketball, apparently is still Bird and Magic in 79. And that was a 24 rating with 35 million viewers. Nothing's touching that in 2024, men or women. We're just not getting to that. But even last year's Final Four, well, it doesn't come close to that. It did really well in a raw number. So, like, let Caitlin Clark in this game tonight break the women's record. Don't worry about the men's side. You don't need to break men's records to prove the value and the worth of these games. Just let them set their own records tonight, play a ridiculous game, and everyone can be excited by it, proud of it, whatever, tomorrow morning.
Okay. Fair enough. On the draft, this hype started early last month in the quarterbacks when J.J. McCarthy's draft stock apparently exploded after his combine and pro days. Many think he might now go in the top four. Most think Caleb Williams is going one, followed by a combination of Jaden Daniels and Drake May 2 and 3. But some mock drafts have McCarthy going at 2. A lot of folks seem to think he's definitely going top 4. Bogues, buy or sell, we get 4 quarterbacks, one after another, to start the NFL draft.
Man, bye.
Bye.
I can't believe it, but too many people have them in some order going 1 through 4. The one caveat still seems to be what happens at 4 and 5, and then the last of the 4 quarterbacks is taken at 6, which the Giants currently own. But we're getting all 4 by, like, that to me right now is worst case scenario, quote unquote, is 4 of the first 6 picks are quarterbacks.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I just, we can do this more after buy or sell. I still can't get there yet on JJ McCarthy. I just can't. There's still some just intellectual disconnect that Michigan, when they had to at times, didn't let him throw it. And now he's going to be a stud NFL quarterback. There's like something about that just doesn't make sense to me.
All right, rapid fire here. LeBron, 40 points last night. He was asked after the game how much, if he's got, when he plans on retiring. He said, I don't have much left. So I'm not going to play for another 21 years. Good one. Buy or sell, LeBron retires after next season.
I'm going to sell.
Sell.
Because after next season, worst case scenario, that's when Bronny's in the NBA draft.
Yep.
And if he can fight his way through one more year just to play with Bronny, he'll do it. But I think part of the reason why he's kind of changed these comments, I think he's realized how, and this certainly factors into the health issues, I think he's realized how far away from the NBA Bronny actually is. Even though he keeps talking such a big game about it, I think he's realized that it's not going to be as easy as they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be a lottery draft pick this year.
In a bad draft.
Yeah.
In a bad draft, he, at the last time I checked, he was just in the first round.
Now, he's probably going to transfer from USC. Did he enter the transfer portal? I saw some Fugazi articles.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards Fugazi for now.
Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back to USC or if he's going to transfer, either way.
Or go in the draft and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And let Daddy and his agent push and prod people to take him and maybe play with LeBron somewhere.
Pretty Daddy.
Is that it?
That's it.
Feels like it.
We could have gone more, but Dexter Henry is waiting patiently.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in that seat, and I don't want to make him wait any longer because Disa will not. He looks at me and talks more during buy or sell because he likes watching me sit here and do nothing.
Wow.
So I don't want to do that to Dexter.
Wow. First it was the clothing. Now it's how you look at people.
No.
This
me.
Is no.
Oh, sorry. Diesel.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking.
That's a bad job by Diesel.
It's not good. It's rough.
Maybe he's a bad guy. I don't know. He's bum of the week on this show often. Just put it out. I mean, numbers don't lie. And just like that, we are near the finish line. A Monday edition, Writer Than You, here on CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app, SiriusXM, Channel 158. Bill, D-Sale, they're off all week. I'm back with you tomorrow and then on Friday. Is there another Boyle appearance this week? Not tomorrow with me. You're shaking your head no.
Not on this show.
This
I'm doing
is it.
Updates late Thursday night, but I got some Rutgers broadcasts the rest of this week, baseball, softball, so that's why I'll be tripling up on the outfit I'm wearing today.
Gotcha. Well, best of luck to you and your outfit, surviving this mad rush of holidays and work shifts. Huge thanks again to John Fanta for joining us here this morning. Two things to get to here before we're done. Real quick, maybe you could help me on this. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams first. We're there, fine. Then you're in Commanders land, you're in the Patriots, somebody moving up, somebody moving back. I completely understand some order of Jaden Daniels and Drake May after Caleb Williams. I just can't wrap my head around J.J. McCarthy. And maybe it's short-sighted, maybe it's too simple, who am I to even understand these things, but this is a guy who, the times where you'd think Michigan would throw it, and obviously their run game was their strength offensively, and at times the score dictated no need to throw the football. But like third down is usually when you've got to throw the football no matter what. And I think he had the 62nd most third down passing attempts in America this year. So even in passing, there were passing situations where Michigan was like, you know what? We're going to run it. Or we're not going to have JJ throw it. And I just can't get past that. I just can't get past that if he was so good and so accurate and so dangerous throwing the football, why wouldn't Michigan throw the football more? Like, is the argument really that Coach Harbaugh didn't want to throw it or they couldn't throw it, but now that's not going to be a problem in the NFL? Like, I don't get it. There's just a contradiction in there to me. And this may be the wrong way to look at it, but if I'm a GM, I don't want to be wrong about any quarterback. But out of this foursome, I don't want to be wrong about J.J. McCarthy. The Bears can't go wrong. You have to take Caleb Williams first. If he doesn't work out, the Bears' blame might just be on who they surrounded him with, but not on taking him. This time 2 years ago, Drake May was a stud. Two seasons ago, he was an absolute stud. Did not have the same year this year, but the raw skills are still there. And Jaden Daniels, what he can do, throwing and running, they speak for themselves. I get all of that. I can't wrap my head around the amount of love for a guy whose team in college just, like, kept a weapon under wraps. I don't get it. I don't get it. Are you any different, Boyle, on this J.J. McCarthy front? Would you take him second, if you're Washington, third, fourth? Where would you go with McCarthy?
No, not in the first 20 is where I would have him. Is where I just, again, you mentioned it. Like, you know, Michigan at times ran the ball 26 straight times. Like, what does that say? If you have an NFL caliber quarterback, you let him throw the ball. And I understand there's game management. There's Jim, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to do whatever it takes to win. But like, dude, if you have an NFL caliber quarterback with an NFL caliber arm, you throw the ball with him. And
right.
They just didn't do enough of that, and it felt like they kind of protected the offense from J.J. McCarthy taking those chances and possibly making those mistakes. I just don't – and again, we saw Zach Wilson blow everybody's nips off with one throw because he threw on his back foot 60 yards and, you know, with no pressure, with nothing, no pads on, and there's now that J.J. McCarthy has done a similar thing. You know, again, we saw how it went with Zach Wilson. We're going to make the same mistake.
Yeah, no thanks. I'd rather move away. I'd rather get burned by J.J. McCarthy being useful for somebody else than him being my pick and my franchise being screwed by me being wrong on a top three, top five quarterback pick. The other thing, very quickly, if you don't know this story out of Portland, the court there for the women's bracket, they played on it Sunday with no issues, or Saturday, coming back tonight, and then yesterday too. Somebody realized that the three-point lines are wrong. On one end, they're correct. On the other, it's too close. It's a court made just for this. I don't understand how that happens. And it happens in the women's tournament, which is also dealt with an official being pulled from a game at halftime because only at that point did they realize that she had gotten a degree from one of the schools she was currently reffing in the NCAA tournament. How does that happen? And then we had a team had to change hotels in the Spokane region, the Spokane pod, because they were the victim of two different racial verbal attacks on their way to dinner because they put them in a place they shouldn't have been in, too far away from the site. These embarrassments cannot keep happening to women's college basketball. And now we go. Thanks again to John Fanta, to Pat Boyle, to you guys for listening and tweeting. Enjoy your Monday. For D-Cell, for Bill, I'm Andrew. We'll see you tomorrow on Writer Than You.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.